In 3 days, we will be observing the Passover service. Today is the 10th day, as Sandy mentioned, of the first month of the Hebrew calendar. And you know what happened in the Old Testament? God told the Israelites to pin up the lamb on the 10th day. This Sabbath is the 10th day. They pinned up the lamb on the 10th day, so we could discount it. And this is just, I'll give my speculation. And I think all of you know, my speculation is not on the same level as God's Word. I think you know that, but it's just the way I think looking at that. They pinned up the lamb on this 10th day, Sunday morning. So if they pinned it up today, this morning, Sunday morning is 1 day. Monday morning is 2 days. Tuesday morning is 3 days. Tuesday night, when we observe the Passover, is 3.5 days. Christ's ministry, he's the symbolic Lamb of God, was 3.5 years long. So I just felt like, you know, I think that God said pin the lamb up on the tent. I think there was a reason for that. And so that's just my speculation and logic on that. But to me, that's very interesting. And our leaders in the church, they do think like this coming Tuesday night, that's the same day of the week that Christ observed the Passover. It's the same day of the week that the Israelites pinned up the lamb. And so, or observed the Passover. So anyway, so I want today, if this will work for me, may not. Let's see. I'll see if I can make it work. Yeah, okay. I want to show today the greatness of our God and the greatness of His sacrifice. First point is Jesus was the God of the Old Testament. Most people don't know that. I grew up not knowing that. I thought that Father God, kind of mean and cruel a bit, was the God of the Old Testament. And then I found out after coming into the knowledge of the truth, you know, Jesus Christ was the God of the Old Testament as well. God of the Old and New. So anyhow, I want to just start reading some of the scriptures that shows that Jesus Christ was the Creator. So at this point, I will let Robert just throw some scriptures here up on the screen so you can see what I've got. And you can read along with me. But it says in John chapter 1, verse 1, in the beginning was the Word, and of course we know the Word was Jesus Christ, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through Him, and not even one thing that was created came into being without Him, without Jesus Christ. He created it all. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, but the darkness does not comprehend it. Then in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 9, starting in verse 9, and that I might enlighten all as to what is the fellowship of the mystery that has been hidden from the ages in God. So see, the truth that we know has been hidden for centuries. Anyhow, it's been hidden from the ages in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ. So God the Father created it, but He created it through Jesus Christ. It's like the president and his generals, or the king and his generals. Jesus Christ is the one that actually did the creating. And to me, when you think of that, you think of the greatness of God and the greatness of Jesus Christ, we are still discovering new galaxies even, stars by the billions. And where will it end? We haven't reached the end. We never will. But the more powerful telescopes find even more things. Jesus Christ created all of those things. Not one thing. Then it says, so that, verse 10, so that the manifold wisdom of God might now be made known through the church to the principalities and the powers in the heavenly places. Isn't that exciting? How will the world know these things? It says, so that the manifold wisdom of God might now be made known through the church. So we're out, we're preaching the good news of the kingdom of God. We're trying to go to all the world. The world is hearing that message. It was a message they didn't understand. But as it says here, Paul says here in Ephesians, it will be made known through the, you know, through the churches, through the church. And in verse 11, according to his eternal purpose, which he has wrought in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and direct access with confidence through his very own faith. So Christ gives us his faith that we might believe. In verse 15, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation? Because by him were all things created. The things in heaven and the things on earth, the visible and the invisible, whether they be thrones or lordships or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. So the Father is creating everything through Jesus Christ, but he's doing it for Jesus Christ. That's what it tells us here. I'm thinking, that's exciting. And he is, that is Jesus Christ, is before all. And by him all things subsist. And he is the head of the body. What's the body? It says the church. Jesus Christ is the head of the body, which is the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from among the dead, so that in all things he himself might hold the preeminence. So nobody else. When it says firstborn from the dead, it's not talking about the people that were resurrected back to a physical life, back to a human life, but resurrected to an eternal life. Spirit being eternal life, that's only happened to one. The firstborn is Jesus Christ. But the time is coming when we will follow. Verse 19, for it pleased the Father that in him all the fullness should dwell. Then in Hebrews, I've got a little letter J there. I do not know why. It just showed up. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1. God who spoke to the fathers at different times in the past and in many ways by the prophets. So he spoke to the prophets. He spoke in person to some, like Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. Abraham, just before Sodom and Gomorrah. But anyhow, in many ways by the prophets has spoken to us in these last days by his Son. In whom, verse 2, he has appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the ages, or by Jesus Christ he made the ages, or made the world, or the galaxies, who being the brightness of his glory and the exact image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his own power, when he had by himself purged our sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. And I know you've probably read in the book of Acts, where when they were stoning the deacon Stephen, he saw Jesus Christ standing at the right hand of the Father. So God gave him a special vision that most of us don't have. But then Jesus Christ came to reveal the Father, because Jesus Christ was the God of the Old Testament again. So in Matthew 11:20, verse 25, at that time, Jesus answered and said, I praise you, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and intelligent. Well, if you're wise and intelligent, you don't understand. So, it's kind of putting us in our place, kind of, but anyway. Okay. And have revealed them to babes. He's calling us babes. Verse 26, yes, Father, for it was well-pleasing in your sight to do this. All things were delivered to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father. Neither does anyone know the Father except the Son and the one to whom the Son personally chooses to reveal him. So if the Son chooses to reveal the Father to us, then he does. And he has chosen to reveal the Father. Before that, the knowledge of the Father was pretty limited. King David did mention in Psalm 110 that the Lord said unto my Lord. So David knew that there were two beings there. Anyhow, verse 28, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy, and are overly burdened. So, and if you feel like it's just, things are just a little tough right now, Christ says, and I will give you rest. You know, one thing that these people, I'm sure they're not in God's church, but the flags are flying at half-mast in Plainview and a song flying at half-mast here. That's for the people that were killed in Nashville, Christian school. And 3 9-year-olds killed. I wonder if the parents feel overly burdened. You know, I think there's just so much happening in the world today that Christ says, you know, come unto me, all you who labor and are overly burdened, and I will give you rest. It's tough to take. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. But anyway, Jesus Christ came to reveal the Father. And then this plan that God had for us, it occurred before the foundation of the world. Now, Mr. Armstrong believed the term foundation of the world was referring to when Adam and Eve sinned and everything changed. Satan became the god of this age, the god of this world, and people are so evil, and we see it getting worse and worse today. It can just, you kind of hate to work to read the news because you just maybe get very sad at some of the tragedies that might happen. But anyhow, in John chapter 17, verse 24, Father, I desire that those whom you have given me may also be with me where I am, so that they may behold my glory, which you have given me, because you did love me before the foundation of the world. Yes, God loved, the Father loved Jesus Christ. Then in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4, it says, according as he has personally chosen us for himself before the foundation of the world. So he chose us a long time ago. At least he chose to have first fruits called, and then later the rest of mankind he would resurrect and give the opportunity of eternal life. But this was planned before the foundation of the world. It says, according as he has personally chosen us for himself, before the foundation of the world, in order that we might be holy and blameless before him in love. So then I wanted to go back thinking of the greatness of God and all the things that he's created. To Job, the book of Job, chapter 38, verse 1. And it's easier to read up there than it is on my screen. Anyway, verse 1 of Job, chapter 38. Then the Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind and said, who is this that darkens counsel by words without knowledge? You think any of us has ever done that? Have we ever questioned something, thought we knew the answer, and somebody else was wrong? And God says, who is this that darkens counsel by words without knowledge? Well, he's talking to Job. So Job did that. We all, I think, do that from time to time. In our life, that's one of the things we can try to overcome. Verse 3, now gird up your loins like a man. You know, fathers will tell their young son. That's coming for Jesse one day. Now he says, now, verse 3, now gird up your loins like a man. You know, act like a man, kid. Brute. You know, for I will demand of you, and you shall answer me. Where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? Declare it. Tell me if you have understanding. Well, of course, Job couldn't tell. Job didn't exist. Verse 5. Who has determined its measurements, if you know, or who has stretched the line upon it? On what are the foundations fastened to? Or who laid its cornerstone? When the morning stars sang together and all the sons of God shouted for joy. Well, the angels shouted for joy when they saw billions, maybe trillions, I don't know. I haven't been able to count them. I'm going by what the scientists say. There's a lot of them out there. And here they all come into existence. The angels obviously already existed. They had already been created. They were there to see it. And they shouted for joy. I think God has a plan for all of that. There's a reason why He created all those things. By the trillions. And He calls them all by name. So He won't forget our name. That's obvious. But anyway, let me see what time it is. The God of this age, which we're all familiar with, is Satan the devil. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4, it says, in whom the God of this age has blinded the minds of those who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. Their eyes have been blinded. Now, Isaiah 14 and Ezekiel 28, we find the story of all these angels that shouted for joy. There was one among them that was going to change his attitude. And he was one of the three archangels at the church. We have articles written on that. But apparently, he hadn't rebelled at this time. All the angels shouted for joy. But now in Isaiah 14, it tells about what happened to this particular super archangel as time went by. And God doesn't want that to happen again. And He will not allow it to happen. That's why we examine ourselves. The Passover's coming up. Let's examine ourselves. Let's realize that God is supreme. God is great. God speaks and the world comes into existence. God can let us go out of existence. It's up to us that we, not that we become perfect, but we depend on Jesus Christ to take care of us, to lead us, to correct us when we're wrong. But anyway, the church, and I think probably the majority of churches out there believe this is referring to Satan, the devil. But in verse 12 of Isaiah 14, it says, how are you fallen from the heavens, O shining star, son of the morning? So he's a shining star, son of the morning. The morning star, you know. Now in Revelation, at the end, Jesus Christ is referred to as the morning star. But here, it looks like that it's Satan, the devil, was given kind of that title at one time. How are you cut down to the ground, you who weakened the nations? For you have said in your heart, I will ascend to the heavens. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will also sit upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. And some people believe he's saying, I will be the Most High. In other words, he's going to take over in place of God that we know as the Father and Jesus Christ. He'll take over in his mind. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Yet you shall be brought down to the grave, to the sides of the pit. Those who see you shall stare and watch you closely, saying, is this the man or the one who made the earth to tremble, who shook kingdoms, who made the world as a wilderness and destroyed its cities, who did not allow his prisoners to go free? So if Satan ever takes you over, he doesn't want to let you go. But God can cast him out. And you know the stories in the Bible where, you know, Satan and the demons were cast out as different people if they possessed him. Now in Ezekiel, same story, but adds a little bit to it. In Ezekiel 28, verse 11, and the word of the Lord came to me, saying, son of man, lift up a lamentation over the king of Tyre and say to him, thus says the Lord God, you, and this is why we know it's not a man, you seal up the measure of perfection, full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. You have been in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was your covering, the ruby, the topaz, the diamond, the beryl, the onyx, and the jasper, sapphire, and the turquoise, and the emerald and gold. The workmanship of your settings and of your sockets was prepared in you in the day that you were created. So he's one of the archangels, and he was created, so we know all the others were created as well. You were the anointed cherub that covers, and I set you so. So God put him in a high position. You were up on the holy mountain of God. You had walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. You were perfect in your ways from the day that you were created. Yeah, probably shouted for joy when he saw the creation that God created. It says, you were perfect in your ways from the day that you were created until iniquity was found in you. By the multitude of your merchandise, they have filled your midst with violence, and you have sinned. Therefore, I will cast you as profane from the mountain of God. I will destroy you, O covering cherub, from among the stones of fire. Your heart was lifted up because of your beauty. You have corrupted your wisdom by reason of your brightness. Why, beautiful, bright. I will cast you to the ground. I will lay you before kings that they may behold you. By the multitude of your iniquities, by the unrighteousness of your trade, you have profaned your sanctuaries. Therefore, I brought forth a fire from your midst. It shall devour you, and I will bring you to ashes upon the earth before the eyes of all who see you and who know you among the people shall be All who know you among the people shall be astonished at you. You became a terror, and you will not be any more. Now, before Satan, sin was not in the world. There had never been anyone spoke a lie. That didn't exist. No one, no being ever spoke a lie. And the reason we know is John chapter 8, verse 44. Says, you are of your father, the devil, and the lust of your father you will do. So people today, just like in Nashville that happened and all these things that's happened in the past, and the lust of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. No one lied before Satan. He's the father of lies. Now then, I just want to read some scriptures that tells us more about the greatness of God. This is Psalm chapter 97, verse 9 through 10. You, Lord, are most high above all the earth. You are exalted far above all gods. The Lord preserves the souls of his saints. He delivers them out of the hand of the wicked. So, you, Lord, are most high above all the earth. Then in Ephesians chapter 1, it says, the exceeding greatness of his power is far above all principality and power. It is not just above. It is far above. The exceeding greatness of his power is far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named. Jesus Christ is far above all principality and power. Any name that is named. For the Lord is great and greatly to be praised. He is to be feared above all gods. Of course, he is the only God, but this is the majority of the world, you know, they worship other gods. And so God is addressing that. The true God, the Lord, is great and greatly to be praised. He is to be feared above all gods. And then in James chapter 2, verse 19, we find that even the demons believe and tremble. So it takes more than just believing. That would be the point James is making. You got to do more than just believe. You got to obey. Because even the demons believe, but they don't obey. They believe so much that they tremble in fear of what's going to happen to them. But they just can't repent. And now I know that the Lord is greater than all the gods. For in the very thing in which they behaved proudly, he was above them. God has always been above. Thus says the Lord, in Isaiah 66:1, thus says the Lord, heaven is my throne and earth is my footstool. And in Isaiah 40, verse 22, it is he who sits above the sphere of the earth, and its inhabitants are like grasshoppers. Can you imagine that? The inhabitants are like grasshoppers. You know, I don't know who was telling me about it. It may have been Andy telling me. Anyhow, one of our rockets or spaceships, not with people, but went so far into space, even up close to Neptune, and they could look back and see the earth was just a little twinkle. What does it look like to God? Just a little twinkle. Except these people on the earth, he loves. He's going to offer them eternal life to live with him forever and ever. But we're like grasshoppers. None of us is a threat to God. My Father, this is from John chapter 10, verse 29. My Father is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. So you have to walk out. Nobody can take you out. Then in Isaiah 43, verse 11 and 13, I am the Lord, and besides me there is no Savior. And there is no one that can deliver out of my hand. I work, and who will reverse it? So God's just asking the question. Anybody out there strong enough to reverse, God says, what I'm doing? And he's just making a point. Obviously, there's not. As he says, there is no one who can deliver out of my hand. Then in Psalm 66, verse 3, God, how awesome are your works! Through the greatness of your power, your enemies shall submit themselves to you. Psalm 66, verse 3. I look forward to that day. I just really look forward to the day when people who think that they're so great and so powerful, and it says they're going to submit. They're going to submit themselves to you. And in Psalm 81, verse 13 and 14, oh, that my people would listen to me, that Israel would walk in my ways. I would soon subdue their enemies and turn my hand against their adversaries. Oh, God says, if you just listen to me, I'll come to your aid. I'll defeat your enemies. And the world doesn't listen. But just, you know, the short part, because we'll be covering a lot in the Passover service this coming Tuesday night. We're dealing a little bit with the sacrifice here. God became a human. John 1:14 says, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. He was made flesh. He became flesh and blood. He wasn't just an all-powerful God inhabiting this body that he's going to go out of. He was flesh and blood. He became a man. And I know I've mentioned this before, but Jesus Christ, the God of creation that created the trillions of stars, he was 9 months in the womb of his mother and born. And he had to finally learn. You know how a little baby, how it's so cute? Yeah, when they get to where they move their hands and arms, they'll reach up for your nose or something. And it's just so cute, so sweet. Jesus Christ had to learn all of that. He became flesh. He emptied himself from being the God of creation. For our benefit, he became just a plain flesh and blood man. But he had the Holy Spirit. from the beginning. And he grew to know who he was. But he had to learn how to set up, and then how to crawl, and then how to walk. And that is so exciting to me, and I think to most of us, to see a little one just learning to walk, and just walking around. Anyhow, we saw a little bit of that before service today. A little bit of that. That's exciting. Anyhow, this is concerning what this great God did for us. Who being the sacrifice that he made, this is this point, the sacrifice that this great, tremendous being that spoke in the world came into existence, says, who being in the form of God did not count equality with God something to be grasped, but he emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, becoming as human beings are, and being in every way like a human being. That's from the NJB version, as you can see, whatever that means. But then this is a, oh, did I miss it? Okay, the next one is ESV. Who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God, because he was equal to the Father, except he was submissive to the Father, did not count equality with God a thing to be held on to for advantage, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men. What a tremendous sacrifice for such a great God to do. Though he was Though he was in the form of God, he did not consider being equal with God something to exploit, but he emptied himself by taking the form of a slave and becoming like human beings when he found himself in the form of a human, and that's the CEB. You know, I thought of the scriptures here, like Matthew chapter 26, verse 53. Christ didn't have to die. He was the all-powerful creator. But he says in Matthew chapter 26, verse 53, thank you that I cannot now pray to my Father, and he shall presently give me more than 12 legions of angels. But how then shall the scriptures be fulfilled that thus it must be? So the scriptures must be fulfilled. But if Christ wanted to, he said, I could pray to the Father. I'd say, I don't think I could take it, Father. The pain is going to be too severe. And he'll send 12 legions of angels to get it. But he said, I can't do it. Scripture must be fulfilled. He came to die for mankind. Then in verse 39, and he went a little further and fell on his face and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it be possible that this cup pass from me. See, I mean, he said, it's very, you know, frightening just to think of what he was going to go through. The beating, the torture, and then on the cross, or the stake. O my Father, if it be possible that this cup pass from me, nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will. Your will be done. He went away again the second time and prayed, saying, O my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me, except I drink it, your will be done. And that's what we're supposed to learn how to do. That's what one of our callings is, to let God's will be done. Sometimes it's not easy. Anyhow, Luke chapter 22:42 just says, saying, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. What a great God. What a great sacrifice. How great he is, and yet the tremendous sacrifice. And we'll be covering more of those scriptures on Passover night. So, looks like I'm getting to a little early. But anyway. Everyone have a good remainder of the Sabbath and days before we meet again for the Passover, the memorial of the great sacrifice that Christ made for us.